All right, take your Bibles this evening and we'll turn first off to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 4. Now, for the first part of the introduction, we got parts to our introduction now. For the first part of the introduction, we're going to be looking at a lot of Scripture. So I want you to keep your Bible handy. I tried to write them down in order. They're really close together, so you should be able to find them. Predominantly, all of them except for one are in the book of John. So there we go. Now, tonight I want to preach to you on this thought. And you know, I want you to, your first thought of your answer, you're going to just automatically say, yes, of course we can. But then what we really have to think about is, well, if we answered yes, of course we can, then why don't we? You say, well, what is the question? Well, the question tonight is, can we trust the Word of God? Can we really trust the Word of God? You say, well, of course we can. You know, it's the Word of God. We have to be able to trust it. But then again, why don't we? And, you know, now you say, well, there's a lot of reasons sometimes we don't. We're flesh. We're human, right? We all have doubts sometimes. We all have fears. We all have personal desires. We all have things we'd rather do than what God wants us to do sometimes. We all have places we'd rather be, you know. All of those things come into fact. But I think tonight, I hope this is, by the end of it, when it all comes together, I hope you're encouraged. You may not be, you may be, I don't know, but that's what I'm aiming for. So, you know, I want you to be encouraged, but I want you to look at some things. Now, we're going to connect the Word of God tonight to something, and you're going to see something. Now, most of you are familiar with John chapter number 4. There's a great, famous passage here that you've heard many, many times. It's the woman at the well, right? This is where the lady comes to the well, and we know that she comes at the wrong time, that what normally people would come, because she is not very well favored in the community. She has committed adultery, and it's very well known amongst the community folks there. So she comes to the well, and here at the well, this is where Jesus deals with her, and of course, we preach it as if she got saved. We know that salvation is really different before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. She's not saved exactly like we are, but she did get right in the sense of what Jesus Christ told her to do. So when we look at this passage, we see the woman at the well. Now, I want you to look at a couple of verses here. We're going to look at two, and then we're going to kind of start tying some things together. But tonight, in the message, we're going to take the well, and we're going to look at that because it's going to become very important in the main meat of the passage tonight over in Genesis. Now, in John chapter number 4, Jesus, verse number 6, let's read over there. In John chapter number 4, I have my Bible in the wrong place. Give me just 1 minute here. But in John chapter number 4, in verse number 6, the Bible says, now, let's go back to verse 5. And then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his sons. Now, you know who Jacob is, right? Jacob is the third in line of Abraham. You have Abraham and Isaac and then Jacob, right? So God started the Jewish race with the nation of Israel. I'm sorry, the nation of Israel with the seed of Abraham in Isaac. And then Isaac had two sons. He had Esau and Jacob. And we know that Jacob got the blessing. So how long has this well been here at this time? It's been here a very long time. We go all the way back. If Jacob gave this well or this parcel of land that had this well on it, then it had been there since the about the middle chapters in the book of Genesis. So this well has still been there for a long time. Now, if they are right, which I, you know, everything I read on the internet said they seem to be, that well is still in existence today. You can visit that well in this region. They've made they've got a big church and a big monument, and they do a lot of things with it there, but that well is still there today. Now, I want you to see something here in verse number 6. Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. Now, we're not going to preach on this passage out of this passage. We're just using it to kind of launch off tonight. But a well, number one, a well is a place where you draw water, right? And number one, one of the greatest things about water is it's refreshing. I mean, if you've ever been in a position where you have had no water, and especially maybe it was hours, or maybe even a day, and you were very hot or very tired, water is one of the most refreshing things that there is. And the Bible said here, we see a picture of Jesus' humanity here. It says, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His what? With His journey. Now let me ask you something. If you're here tonight, and predominantly I'm going to be preaching at saved people. But if you're here tonight and you're saved, have you ever been wearied from your journey? I mean, I would venture to say that if you could really, if folks in the church would be honest, and I'm not saying y'all are a bunch of liars. Sounds like it though, right? But no, what I mean is if we'd be totally honest, and if we passed a piece of paper around here tonight, well, actually, one wouldn't do it. We'd probably have to go to Kim's in the closet in there, and then Kim's office, and get a whole ream of paper out, like out of the copy machine or something. But if we passed it around, and I asked you to list all of your troubles and problems on that list, number one, we'd be here a while. But can you imagine what kind of list that'd be once by the time it got back to you? Some of you are thinking, man, I want to be sitting at the back. I get to read all that. Some of you are thinking, I'm glad I'm sitting at the front. I don't have to read all that. But you know what the Bible says? You know what? I mean, the Bible says he that's born of woman is what? Is a few days and full of trouble. Every one of you have trouble. Now, some of you have trouble with your kids. Some of you may have had trouble with your marriage. Some of you may have had trouble with your in-laws. Some of you may have had trouble with your parents. Some of you may have had trouble with your boss. Some of you may have had trouble with sin. There is so many things we can have trouble with, right? And many times, we are just like the Lord Jesus Christ here. Hey, if He got wearied with His journey, and His ministry was 3.5 years, and He had specific places to go, and specific things to do, and He had all these requirements to meet and to make. Hey, He got weary in the flesh. And notice here it says, Jacob's well being there, Jesus therefore being wearied with His journey, He sat thus on the well. Now, and even though He was wearied, He still took time to deal with the woman at the well. And we read over to verse number 14, and look at what He tells us here. Or excuse me, what He tells her. He says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Now see, He's dealing with a spiritual water here, but it's likened unto physical water. And where is the place that she received this? It is at the well. Notice here, but whosoever drinketh of the water that shall I give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 23, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, right? So the Word of God is said to be alive, but notice here is a living water that is said to be a spring indwelling in us. This is after salvation, of course, and be in Him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So we see that this well of water here, this water, and that's a, hey, well, let me ask you something. What good is a well? Now, we're going to talk a lot about a well, but what good is a well if it has no water? It's worthless, right? I mean, just gets your hopes up and then what? Leaves you parched. Leaves you non-quenched. Leaves you nearly at the point of death, maybe. Sometimes it could be your death. They say, why is that important? Because the Bible says in 2 Peter that false teachers are like wells without water. Now see, that's what do? They leave you parched, they leave you destitute, they leave you non-quenched, they leave you sometimes in dead. But notice here, so we're just kind of trying to draw some scripture together, and we're making a type here that the water, the well is where we go, but the water is what we need out of the well. Take your Bibles, look in John chapter number 7. Jesus said of the Spirit of God that dwelleth in us in John chapter number 7. Look over there in John chapter number 7 and verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me hath, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. They said, what is he talking about? Well, look at verse 39. But this he spake of what? of the Spirit, which they that believe on Him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Bible says we're born again by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hey, you know, He begotten us again by the resurrection. So, therefore, until Jesus Christ was resurrected, nobody was born again. Now, you know, this river of living water, it's a product of being saved. It's a product of having the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. But notice here, there's some more verses we want to look at. Now, you look at this thing through the Bible, so the water is likened unto the Holy Spirit. But notice also what that Holy Spirit will do. John chapter 14. Just looking over there real quick. John chapter number 14. John chapter 14. These are all familiar scriptures, but we're just looking at them in the same context, so we get a good picture here tonight of what the Word of God is saying in regards to water being connected to the Word of God. Now, the Bible says here in John chapter number 14, verse 16, you all know it, and this is Jesus before He departs. He's telling His disciples, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another what? Comforter. I remember a couple of weeks ago, well, maybe, I don't know, it's probably further than that, it's probably a month ago or more, you know, Corpus had a water scare. Y'all remember that? They found E. coli, or was it E. coli, whatever that nasty little bug is. They found it in the water. I didn't know anything about it. I'd been to Taqueria, I drank water. I'd been everywhere else, I drank the water. I come home from work, my wife says, hey, you can't drink the water. I said, it's too late. She said, you can't drink the water. She said, we got to boil the water. I said, well, did you go to H-E-B and get us some bottled water? No, I didn't think about that. And I said, oh, man. So she jumps in the car and down to H-E-B. She goes, what do you think? There's not a bit of water. Except for in one lady's cart who had all the water you could put in one shopping cart. And it still stay upright. You know? And so everybody panicked, right? You say, why? Because the first time they mentioned no water, everybody went nuts. And you couldn't, I mean, you go to a county, I mean, I'd just love to have a tenth of what they sold in water right there that weekend, wouldn't you? I mean, we ran out and bought it. I mean, it was a big deal, you know? But hey, you say, why? Because you think, hey, if they're going to say there's no water, then you know what? I need water. And if I've got a great big supply of water, then I'm what? I'm comforted in this scare. What is the Holy Spirit called? The Comforter. I will send you another Comforter. Say, why? Because He's going away. Hey, you know what? You need comfort. Hey, I mean, I've heard all kind of contingency plans for natural disasters and all those things. But you know what? In reality, the Comforter, the real Comforter, is the best thing you can have. And notice here, Jesus calls Him the Comforter. Now, look down there in verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, it's identified, whom the Father will send in My name. Well, what's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Anybody know? It's Jesus. It's Emmanuel. Mighty Counselor, Prince of Power, all those things. Yeah, but what is it called? If you go back to John chapter 1 verse 1, you don't have to, but if you go back to John chapter 1 verse 1, what does it say? In the beginning was the what? The Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In John chapter 1 verse number 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In 1 John 1 3, we have handled the Word, capital W, of life. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 5 verse number 7, it says there's three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. In Revelation chapter 19 verse 13, the Bible says, and His name is called the Word of God. So notice here, notice, is there not a connection? The Holy Spirit is likened unto water, and therefore when He comes, it says there in verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, is connecting it with the Word. He shall what? He shall teach you all things. How does the Holy Spirit of God teach you? He teaches you by showing you the Word of God. Notice here, see it? Is it? We're just painting a picture here, making a connection. In My name He shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. How many of you have ever read something, studied something in the Bible, you forget all about it, and then one day you're sitting there, you're doing something, maybe you're in a jam, maybe you're having trouble, whatever the case may be, and all of a sudden, there's a verse of the Bible that just runs right back in your mind. And you have comfort. You say, what is that? It's the Holy Spirit of God teaching you, comforting you. Take your Bibles, look in John chapter 16. We'll just keep painting the picture. In John chapter number 16. And look over there, John chapter number 16, and we'll look down there at verse number, lost my place here, look at verse 12. Yet I have many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Hey, wait a minute. So here's Jesus talking to the disciples. Now, my mother-in-law loves this. We got her on it today, going to lunch. How many of you like to have somebody say, I got something I really want to tell you, but I ain't going to do it right now. I got something really important. Yeah, I got something I got to talk to you about, but I'm going to wait about a month. I mean, that will drive you nuts, won't it? I mean, that'd make you crazy because your mind starts imagining all kind of things, you know? Well, I wonder if they hate me. Do they like me? Do they want to kill me? Or is something going to happen to them? Your mind goes nuts. You know, it's kind of like, call your parents up and say, hey, I really got something to talk to you about. I'll call you in a couple of months, see how well it goes. It doesn't go that well. But notice here, Jesus tells his disciples, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, now he's called the Spirit of truth. You say, why? When he, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. What is truth? The Bible says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. See, they're connected. Notice here, the Spirit of God is likened unto water, and now we have the Word of God, and the Spirit of God being connected because the Spirit of God is the one that teaches us and shows us the Word of God. Is that not what we see so far? I mean, it's all here. He bears witness of the truth. Look at verse number 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Why? For he shall not speak of himself. You get people that are hung up on the Holy Spirit of God and always uplifting and magnifying the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Spirit won't do that. It says he shall speak of himself. He will not speak of himself. I forgot the most important word. He will not speak of himself. Notice there. Hey, pay attention to this thing. Why? Because he speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. He uplifts him. He magnifies him. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that's the words, who's he hearing them from, that whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Hey, this book right here is called a book of prophecy. He will show you the things to come. Where's he going to show them to you out of? Some advanced way wacky revelation? No. You're going to find them right here in the Word of God. That's why we have it complete. And foremost, why? The Spirit of God's going to show you these things. And look at verse 14. And he shall glorify me. Why? Because he glorifies the Word of God. Who he is, the Lord Jesus Christ. For he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. Now take your Bibles, look over here. We go back over here, we look at John. Oh no, we're in John. We need to jump over, if you would, to Ephesians. It's the only verse not in John, so I told you we'd stick them all pretty much together. So you see, what we have so far is, we doing all right? We got Jesus likened the Holy Spirit and salvation to that living water. You get the Holy Spirit of God when you get saved. He indwells with us. Jesus said, I will come unto him. Me and my Father will come unto me and him. Notice they do that in the form of the Holy Spirit. You're born again. You've got the Spirit of God. Now, that is likened unto water. And then also in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is connected with showing you the truth. And the truth is the Word of God. And Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He magnifies the Word of God. See, all three of these things are connected. That's why they're so important. And notice here, we get over in Ephesians chapter number 5. Now I realize what this passage is doctrinally dealing with. It's dealing with the bride of Christ, those that are saved from Acts chapter 2 all the way up to the rapture of the church. church. But in Ephesians chapter number 5, this is a great passage here dealing with the church as the bride of Christ. Notice here in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse number, we'll read verse 25 for context's sake. Have a husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and what? And gave himself for it. He loved his bride. He gave himself for it. He gave himself for the church. He died so that we could be saved and make up the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by what? By the Word. Now we have the water connected to the Word of God. So we got the water is connected to the Spirit. But we got the Spirit that's connected to the Word. And we got the Word that's connected to the water. Say, what do you got? I'm just showing you. It's all tied. You say, well, that's really good, preacher. What do we do with it? Take your Bibles. Let's go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter number 24. Now remember, the main part of our message is, can you trust the Word of God? Now I want you to look tonight at, we're going to look at three individuals tonight. They're all in the same story. Now I admit it's going to be just a little bit of a lengthy read. I'll try to give you some commentary in between to break it up. But notice here in Genesis chapter number 24, this is the story. This is the part of the Bible. This is the illustration where, it just keeps going together, I'm telling you. But notice here in Genesis chapter 24, this is where Isaac, who is the son of Abraham. He's not the only, but he's the one God called the only. He said, take Isaac, thine only son, and offer him as a sacrifice. But notice here, here we have Isaac, who is getting his bride. And when he gets his bride, this whole passage, there's whales everywhere. Well, maybe the same whale, but it's everywhere. It's all in the passage is what I'm trying to say. Say, why? Because we're connecting something here. And I want you to see something here tonight. I want to try to encourage you. Genesis chapter 24. Now, the beautiful thing about this, hey, you know what? Isaac in this passage, he is a type of Jesus Christ. Abraham is a type of God the Father. And the servant, Gehazi here, he is a type of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit goes out and finds a bride for Isaac. God, the servant goes out and gets a bride for Isaac. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did with us. The Holy Spirit calls us, draws us, reproves us of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and all of that. And He calls us in, and God draws us through the Holy Spirit, and we get saved. And when you get saved, you're born again, you're baptized into the body of Christ, and guess what? You become part of the bride of Christ. So what we have in the Old Testament here is just a beautiful type of what is going to take place in the New Testament in regards to salvation. But let's read this and see some connections to the well and how we can look at this for ourselves here tonight in trusting the Word of God. Now, notice here in verse number 24, and Abraham was old. I'm in chapter 24, verse 1. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant in his house, that ruled over all that he hath, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. Say, what in the world is he doing that for? It must be a sign of swearing an oath. Kind of like we shake hands today to make something, you know. You shake hands with somebody, that means you're bound to do it. You're supposed to do it. Obviously here they had another custom. And I will make thee, verse 3, I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, and thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Abraham had come to the promised land. And he's dwelling in Canaan there. But he said, you know what? I don't want one of these women for my son. Now, there's a great message there. A great thought on worldly brides and worldly husbands. It don't work out most of the time for saved people. But notice here, verse 4, but thou shalt go into my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto here, preadventure, the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land whence thou comest? And Abram said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from my land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angels before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. He's pretty plain. He says, look, you go get the woman. If she refuses to come, you're free of the oath. But if she wants to come, whatever you do, don't take Isaac back to that land. This is where God wants him to dwell. Now, notice here in verse number 8. And if the woman, And verse 9, the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master and swore unto him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels. 10's a Gentile number. Say, why? Christ gets a Gentile bride. This whole thing's full of typology. But notice here. And notice he says, and he took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. You not know the Holy Spirit has all the goods of God just waiting to give them to you? See, it's there. It's a type here. This is a beautiful picture of salvation. And, or Jesus Christ getting his bride. And he made his camels, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia under the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to deal down without the city by a well of water. There we see that water. And we see that well. Now notice here, and at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Now you got to remember something. The nation of Israel was started with signs, and that's why they have the signs. Bible says Jews seek after a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. I wouldn't necessarily try this. I mean, you'd have to be under some serious leadership of the Lord if you want to try this. You go down to the convenience store and you wait by the Coke machine and the first woman that comes along and buys a Coke and you say, hey, give me a drink of that Coke. Most of them are going to tell you no, but the first one that says yes, I don't know if you just want to marry that woman right on the spot. You see, but that's putting it in modern day terminology, right? I mean, that's what he done. He said, God, give me a sign. He said, let the woman that I asked to give me a drink, and not only that, but let her water the camels also. And I don't know about you, but there's 10 camels. How much can a camel drink? Guess it depends on whether he's got one hump or two humps, right? I don't know. Either way, it's a lot of water, right? Say, wow, they can cross the whole entire desert, never get thirsty. You know, I never understood that. I got a doctor, most of you know, I have a couple of medical issues, and one of those he wants me to drink water for. And he says, you need to drink water like a camel in the desert. And I just think, you know, I don't say nothing, I just think to myself, there's no water in the desert. How does a camel drink water in the desert? But anyway, I know what he means, you know. He means before he goes into the desert. But I know what he means. So, but notice here. Now I want you to think about something. Has anybody even wondered, where's Isaac up to this point? He's back at home. Now wait a minute. You mean to tell me that Dad sent the servant to go out and find the bride and the son's not even involved? We don't even see him mentioned. You say, what does that take? Well, let me ask you something. How many of you would have trusted your dad to go out and pick your bride sight unseen and arrange the marriage and you just show up for the event? You know, these teenage girls are like, oh, no. I mean, let's just be honest. If you'll be honest, you don't have to raise your hand because I won't embarrass you. But I mean, how many of you men out here in the crowd, your wife's husband didn't even like you to start with? I mean, your wife's husband. Your wife's father didn't even like you to start with. So you know if he didn't like you to start with, he never would have picked you sight unseen. You know what I'm saying? I mean, hey, you see, we're beginning to see some trust. We're beginning to see some trust. Hey, notice something here. I want you to see something now. We look at this here, and I done forgot where we left off, somewhere down around them camels, because that's where I got sidetracked with my story. But notice here, and so he made that deal with the Lord in verse 15, and it came to pass before he had done speaking. That won't happen either very much in your lifetime. How many of you went to God and prayed for something, and before you get even through praying, you open your eyes, and there it is. Don't happen that often. Maybe sometimes, maybe for some of you, but hey, God, don't panic here. We're all in types here. And it came to pass before he had done speaking that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Malcolm, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, direct. I mean, the first woman he sees is Abraham's niece. If I got that right. Yeah, there we go. That's a niece. Yeah. What do you think that is? That's the provision of God. But notice here, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. Now, and the damsel was very fair to look upon. That means beautiful. A virgin. Well, you know that because she's coming at the right time. You remember back over there in John chapter 4? The woman at the well came at the sixth hour, which is noonday. Why? Because all the other women come at the evening. And she wasn't a virgin, and so she was in adultery, and she didn't come with the other ladies. See, this shows you some character here about this lady. Now, notice here, the Bible says, and the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her, I bet he did, and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink my Lord. Now that would have sold it right there. But notice, drink my Lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also. That's a lot of pitchers. There's 10 camels, remember? And now, you really want to see something wild? You know we're not in modern day America. Look at the next verse. Until they have done drinking. She was going to do the job fully. Most people today will do it halfway, half-heartedly. We'll do it any way we can get by. Say, that's not all. Look at this. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran. Now, I mean, you know, that's a lot of pitchers of water. And this girl's running the whole time. You say, what do you do with that girl? You marry that girl. That's what you do. You say, why? Your tea glass gets empty, she's going to run right over there and fill it up and be right back over there before you even notice it's empty. Just putting it in modern day terms. We're not, you know, have a good spirit here. But notice, hey, notice what it says. She ran. She did. I mean, you know, she ran. I mean, you know, it's amazing. Now, you say, how amazing was it? Well, look at verse 21. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace. He was speechless. Say, why? Because he'd probably never seen it before. But he's thinking, man, I wish I was Isaac, probably is what he's thinking. But that's not my job here. But notice, and the man wondering at her held his peace to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half shekel weight and two bracelets for hands of 10 shekels weight of gold and said, boy, he knew how to get to the heart of a woman, didn't he? I mean, come on, you know, golden earrings and a golden bracelet just right out. I mean, come on, all right out of the bat. This was a smart servant. And you know what? The Holy Spirit knows just how to deal with you. It's all a beautiful time. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of a half shekel weight and 2 bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Malcolm, which she bare unto Nahor. And she said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. Now this is important. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my brethren. We're going to come back to that. I just wanted you to pay special attention. If you mark it in your Bibles, mark it up. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house. Told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out to the man under the well. Now, verse 30, and it came to pass when he saw the earrings and the bracelet upon his sister's hands, and when she heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake unto me, that behold, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and the room for the camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And they were set meat before him, and he said, I will not eat until I have told mine heir. And he said, speak on. It's a perfect type of the Holy Spirit. His first and most important thing is to tell the Aaron of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice here, we're going to go down. We're going to go down. I don't want to read the whole, we got 67 verses here. So we're going to skip down just a little bit. I'll tell you what happens. I want you to see everything to that point. But notice here, so he rehearses the story, and he tells about Abraham, and he tells about Isaac, and he asks the lady if she wants to go. And he rehearsed everything that happened. And notice here, and it says, down there, let's see, verse 52, and it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, and they that were with him tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning and said, send me away. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master. And they said, we'll call the damsel, inquire in her mouth. And they called Rebekah, and she said unto him, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Kind of reminds you of the wedding vows. They ask her point blank, and I will do, I will go. And he sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And he blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister, being thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahai-roi, for he dwelt in the south country. Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. I marked that verse in my Bible. And I want to try to give you some encouragement tonight. On that verse right there, it says, and he went out, and he meditated in the evening time, and he lifted up his eyes, and behold, the camels were coming. Now, I said at the beginning here tonight that if we could list every problem that's here tonight, it would fill probably reams of paper. May I encourage you with this? Hey, behold, the camels are coming. If you're saved and you are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and you are trusting in the Word of God, no matter what your problem is, hey, your problem may not end on this earth. Hey, your problem may not be resolved from you. Hey, your ailment, your physical needs, hey, you may not ever have them all met. But one day, either through death or the rapture of the Lord Jesus Christ, behold, the camels will come. Now, you got to picture this. Here is Isaac, and he's sitting back there wondering, am I going to get married or not? Am I going to get married or not? Am I going to get married or not? Boy, Dad come up with this harebrained idea. He has sent a servant down there. And if she don't come, it's kind of a one-shot deal, is it not? I mean, he told the servant, he said, if she doesn't want to come, then you're released to your oath. You know what that means? I don't know about you, but I look at that and say, I got one shot at this deal. I hope he picks one that'll come, because if he don't, well, goodness, I'm out of a wife. I mean, put yourself in the position of the Bible people, and you'll have a great understanding. Now you say, well, what was so wrong with Isaac? You got to keep reading. Now we know that she came and they got married and lived happily ever after. Now they had trouble. They had lots of things. But look down there at verse number 67. And Isaac brought her unto his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. See, I didn't read that to you. But if you go back, his mother died in the previous chapter, chapter 23. Isaac is grieving the loss of his mother. He needs comforting. He needs, and he wants a wife. He's obviously lonely and he's in need. Hey, you know what? I know that every person here tonight has probably some kind of a trouble. I'm going to ask you yourself, well, just one simple question. Hey, the key is, do you trust the Word of God? Then behold, the camels are coming. How many days do you think it took Gehazi to travel down that far? If you look at where he went, if you look at where he started to where he went on the map, considering he was riding camels, I don't know about you, but I don't think camels are like thoroughbreds, are they? They travel long, they travel hard, and they travel far, but I've never seen them doing it at a massive pace. You know what I mean? This was a long process. And the Bible says he went out at the even time to meditate. You think he done that just once? You think he just happened to do that on the right day? No, it was a progressive thing. But I want you to see something. If the well is a type of the Word of God, if a well is where the water comes from and the water is a type of the Word of God, I want you to look at three people that trusted in wells. And maybe you'll get some help for whatever situation you're facing here tonight. The Bible says, first off, let's look at the servant. Hey, take your Bibles, look in Genesis chapter number 24. Hey, you know what the servant is? Hey, he is the type of a person that is doing a job for the master. Is anybody here tonight serving God? Then you are a type of that servant. You know what? Hey, Gehazi, I believe it was Gehazi from another chapter. I know it doesn't say that here. But hey, Gehazi there, hey, he went down and he had a task and he had a journey and he had a job to do and it was long and it was hard. And you know what? The first time he got an opportunity to go by a well, he stopped there. He said, yeah, preacher, but if they didn't drink water, they wouldn't live. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God, right? See what I'm saying? You say, yeah, but you're likening this to water, and people had to have water. Hey, I'm telling you, if you're saved, you have to have the word of God. You will die without it. You're not going to lose your salvation. It's not possible. But you will die. Spirit, you can die off. You can become almost like a dead Christian, so to speak. You say, are you sure about that? Well, Ephesians chapter 5, talking to saved people, says, awake thou that sleepest. Say, why? Because they don't went to sleep. Say, why? They fainted. Faint not in the day of adversity. You say, why? Because they didn't have the water. Notice here, Gehazi the servant. You know the first thing he did? Look there. The Bible says in verse 11, and his camels came, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well. He had to make them. You say, well, doesn't a camel have enough sense to know how to drink? Well, don't you have enough sense to know how to read the Bible and you still don't do it? I mean, let's just be honest. We all know. And yet we'll go day after day after day sometimes and never even read the Word of God. Never even supply, you know. Hey, sometimes, you know, Brother Calvin always told me, always used to, you know, you hear that saying, you can make a water, I mean, oh, you can make a water. You can't, well, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I told Brother Calvin that one time, he's an Indian, and he told me, he said, yeah, but you can give him salt tablets. And I said, touche. You know? I mean, hey, you know what? Hey, sometime maybe you ever thought God may be giving you some salt tablets? Why? To make you thirsty for the Word of God? I mean, boy, salt, it's bitter, it burns. Some of you, I don't know, I watch people at restaurants. I mean, they put, you know, they get a half a pound of food and put a pound of salt on top of it. I never have understood that. Maybe you're one of those. I'm not knocking you. I'm just saying, I don't even like salt. If it's cooked in the food, that's fine. I won't even put it on there. You know, but you say, what? Hey, but you know what? When I eat something salty, I usually get thirsty. And you know what? God will give you some salt. Why? He's trying to make you thirsty. And you know what our problem is? We won't quench it with water. We'll get tea or Gatorade or Coke or coffee for you coffee drinkers out there. You know what? There's something that only water can do for you. Say, yeah, but they put all them electrolytes and all that stuff in the Gatorade and all that. Yeah, and how much sodium and how much sugar do they put in that stuff? Say, you like sugar. Oh, I love sugar. But it ain't necessarily always good for you. Depends on who you are and what your body does with it. You know? My body used to do a whole lot better with it than it does right now. I've had to cut back on it some. I can't process it quite like I used to. Some of you that way, you remember, you could eat anything, drink anything, and then one day you hit about 30 or 40, and now all of a sudden, boom, you can't eat nothing without gaining 10 pounds, you know. You eat a saltine and you gain 10 pounds overnight. But notice here, hey, you know what? Hey, the Bible says he made his camels drink. You know what? He knew the importance of water. He knew the importance of the well. And you know what? Hey, you and I, if you're going to do a job for God, you have got to know the importance of daily making yourself drink at the greatest fountain that there ever's been.
the water of life that dwells within us. Hey, you can choke it off. I'm not saying you lose it. I'm just saying you can choke that flow off. And you won't have the Spirit and the power of God in your life. And you'll fail at some of the things you try to do. Notice this. Hey, not only that, but notice this. The Bible says in verse 12, "And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee." He not only made his camels drink the water, but he prayed at the well. Folks, the Word of God without prayer doesn't always work. You say, "Preacher, I don't understand the Word of God." That's where prayer and faith and the Holy Spirit of God comes in and shows you those things. You know, sometimes God will withhold a passage from you or hold an idea from you or something out of the Scripture. Why? Because He did it with His disciples. He said, "I have many things to say unto you, but you're not able to bear it now." But He said, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth." Hey, you say, "Well, I didn't even understand. I spent an hour reading my Bible this morning. I didn't understand anything." You might 5 years from now. You might tomorrow. You might by the end of the night. You never know God's timetable. But you see, that's why the Spirit is so important. That's why the Word of God is so important. And He knew that. And He put prayer with it. And He said, "Lord, I pray Thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham." Hey, are you praying when you read your Bible? Are you praying over the job God's given you to do? Are you really trusting the Word of God? You know what? I don't know what your burden is. I don't know what your problem is. But I know this, trust the Word of God. You parents, I can just imagine sometimes how hard it is to be a parent. I can just imagine you say, "Hey, you know what? I've been fighting with my kids. I'm trying to raise them by what the Bible says, and they just fight it at every turn. They want this and they want that, and I know the Bible says it's not good for them. It's worldly, and I need to sustain, and we need to keep away from those things. But boy, they're just wearing me down. And I'm always telling them no, telling them no, telling them no, telling them no. And you know what? I understand. And you compromise sometimes, don't we? And we give in. You know what? And we give them things. You know what? It's hard to trust the Word of God. You say, "Yeah, but man, they're driving me nuts." Sometimes you just got to trust the Word of God. Sometimes they're going to act foolish. They're going to do things. And you know what you got to do? You got to trust the Word of God. You remember that prodigal son? You remember the prodigal? Hey, if I'd have went to my dad and said, "Give me half of what I got coming and I'm hitting the road," I'd have hit the road all right. With a sore behind and no half of what was coming to me. That's exactly what would have happened. I'd have hit the road like in an arch, you know, like in them cartoons when they kick somebody and they woo, you know. That's how I would have hit the road. And there wouldn't have been a money bag flying behind it. You know? But hey, he did that. And you know what? He went out every day. You say, "How do you know?" I know the Bible doesn't say that, but I believe he had to. Say, why? Because he said he went out and he saw him. He looked. He saw him a far way off. He looked for him every day. He said, why? Because behold, the camels are coming. But you got to trust the Word. You know why we don't see the camels? You know, you say, how many of you ever, you know, what is it? What are camels called? Aren't they called the ships of the desert? Did I dream that or is that real? I make up a lot of stuff in my own head. And I just throw it out there sometimes like it's fact. So y'all better check. Y'all better do some fact checking every now and then. Not in service. Leave your phones in the purse. But afterwards, you might want to check it out. They call them ships of the desert. Now, what's that old saying we have? How many people you know are saying, "Boy, I'm just sitting around waiting for my ship to come in." What are you doing? You're waiting on your camel. You know why your camel may not be coming? Because you ain't trusting the Word of God. Because you ain't made yourself applied. You ain't made yourself read it. You ain't done like the servant. You ever wondered about this servant? Hey, he prayed, God answered it. He prayed, God answered it. I mean, just right there, boom, 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 boom. Man, you say, why? Because when he got to the well, he took advantage of it. And he prayed, and he asked God, and he blessed God. Notice here, not only did he pray, hey, what else did he do? Look at this thing here. Notice there, verse number 13. What does it say there? I done lost my place. He said, you know what he told God? Look at this. He said, "Behold, I stand here by the well." He said, God, I want you to bless me. I want you to help me with this thing. Hey, I want you to do what you said you were going to do, what you promised Abraham. But you know what? He said, until you do, I'm going to stand by the well. When's the last time we stood by the Word? Even when society said it was stupid. Even when your own inner voice, you know, your alternate you, what I like to call it. People say, you talk to yourself? Of course, all the time. I say, why? It's where you get the best answer, right? Just don't do it out loud. I tell the teens, don't do it out loud. People might think the idea you're crazy. But notice here, hey, you know what? Everything in your fiber may be saying, you know what? This just is not going to work. What do? Stand by the well. Where do you get your refreshing? Where do you get your deliverance? Where do you get your salvation? It all comes from the Spirit and the Word. Hey, stand by the well. Stand on the well. Stand by the well. Stand with the well. However you want to word it, just somehow take a stand for what's right. You say, well, I don't know if it's going to work. Hey, it's never failed. You say, well, you know, I stood by it and it don't look like it's going to work out. Trust God. Behold, the camels are coming. But you know what? Until we're willing sometimes to take that hard stand on faith and trust, you know what? The camels don't come. You know, we're looking at this passage here. Poor old Isaac. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself in the sermon. I got to stay with it here. Now, I want you to look at something. Look down there in verse number 26. The Bible says in verse 26, and after he had that incursion with the woman, there with Rebecca, and he was amazed and all that good stuff. Look at verse 26. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord, and said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. You know why most of us don't end up in the right place? Because we're not in the way. Look at that verse. He says, I wound up in the house of my master's brethren with the first woman that came to the well. You say, what are the odds of that? Well, I don't know how many women were in that town. But one out of how many ever women were in that town. Which is probably not real good odds. But notice here. You say, well, how did that happen? Because the Bible says, I being in the way. What was the way? He was standing by the well. He was praying at the well. He was trusting in the well. What about that last one? How was he trusting in the well? Well, let me ask you something. If you're coming to a town and you want to meet a woman, where do you go? You don't go to the gate of the city because the men sit in the gate, right? You don't go to the pool hall. That's where the men go, you know? You want to meet a woman, go hang out outside a beauty shop. Go hang out in front of the mall. Say, why? Because that's where the women's going to come. You know what? He was trusting the women are going to come there. You know why? Because it was customary. Women came to draw water of well at the evening. He was trusting in that fact. He was praying at the well. He was trusting. He was standing, even though it might look hopeless. I mean, how many of you would think, I'm going to stand right here and God's going to bring me the kin of my master on the very first one? That's faith. That's why we said, do you really trust the Word of God? Because when you don't stand, it's a lack of trust on our part. And I'm not telling you it's easy. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do. I cannot imagine Isaac in this position. That's trust. But notice here. Let's move on. Let's look here at Rebecca. Look down there at verse number, Rebecca. Look at verse number 15. And he came to pass. So you see, first off, I'm sorry, I got a little ahead, but first off, we saw that the servant, you know what he's like? He's somebody that's serving in the ministry or in a particular job. Now you say, well, preacher, I don't have a job at the church. I'm not in any kind of ministry. I'm just an average Joe, and I'm just trying to make it through day to day, week to week, month to month, and keep my head above water. Here's your type. Right here. Here's your type. It's Rebecca. Look at this. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out and was born to Bethuel, son of Malka, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon. You say, all right, I'm pretty. Yeah, if that's your type, that's your right. Neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. You say, what was she doing? You know what she's doing? She's going to the well. You say, why? Because they needed water. And that was her job. She might not have been the big servant. She might not have had the great master Abraham. She just had a job. And you know what? She's an ordinary person. But you know what she knows? She knows that she needs water every day. And she knows that if I'm going to get water, I got to go to that well every day. And you notice what she did? She came with a pitcher. How many times do we, saved, born-again children of God, do we just get up and read our Bible just because it's my daily Bible reading, and I got to do it. You know why sometimes we have a hard time trusting the Word of God? Because we don't bring anything to get the Word in. You know why sometimes you don't get nothing out of church? Because you don't bring nothing to get it in. B.R. Lankin, some of you may remember him, a very old preacher. He preached a sermon, he preached a revival one time. And he did. He preached this revival for a week or two, however long they preached back in those days. And boy, he said people were getting saved. He said the Spirit of God was there every night. He was moving. And at the end of that thing, he said there's a little old lady. He said, you know, just a little old sweet little grandma looking lady. And she walked up to him and she said, preacher, I just want you to know I didn't get one thing all week. And he said, well, sister, you didn't bring nothing to get it in. And that's the truth. Notice, hey, you know what she was doing? She was faithful every day to go to the well and get it. And you know what her purpose was? She was getting it not only for herself, but she was getting it for other people. That's why you bring a pitcher. If I'm just thirsty for myself, I go down to the well and we drink out of the well and I'm done. But if I want to take it back and I want to have something that's going to benefit me later, if I want to have something that's going to benefit me during the day, then I read my Bible in the morning, but I got to go to it with an attitude of I want something from it. And I have something to put it in. And I keep seeing out of my life, I have a vessel. I have a good vessel to put the Word of God in. And all those things. So notice here, hey, you say, what happened with her? We see in her, hey, the servant, he dealt at the well. And you know what? Hey, we see in the woman somebody that exercised and used the well, and not only used it for herself, but was willing to use it for others every day. Hey, you know what? Say, you, I don't know what your problems are, but if you will be faithful to the Word of God, and you'll be faithful to trust and do what it says, hey, you know what? Behold, the camels are coming. You say, you might not ever see it on this side of glory, but one day you'll see it. And you know what? Most likely God will give you a little bit of it down here sometimes. Just enough to keep you going. You say, boy, I'm waiting on my ship to come in. Well, make sure you ain't wearing blinders and it goes right by. I wonder how many camels pass us by every day. You say, why? Because we're not standing at the well. I mean, you got to think about something. What if this girl had said, you know what? I go to the well every day for my family. Today, I'm sending somebody else. I've had it. I need a break. What if she had said that? She'd have missed out. Maybe she's got another sister that would have got to marry Isaac and produce Jacob, who produced all the 12 tribes of Israel. See what a blessing we miss out on sometimes because we don't go to the well. Now take your Bibles, look at the last person in this list. We're going to look there if you would. Look in verse Isaac. Genesis chapter 24. Look at there at Isaac. Look over there, if you would, in verse number 22. I'm sorry, 62. Now, and Isaac came from the way of the well. You think God put that in there just as a coincidence? Here is Isaac. Hey, you know what he's a type of? Let me say it this way. Christian, if you've got some major hardship in your life and you are waiting and you are miserable, you are lonely, or you are frustrated, and you're battling all those things and you're dealing with all the frustrations and all that, you're a type of Isaac. Isaac was grieving over his mother. He was lonely. He was hoping for a bride but not knowing if he was going to get one. He was doing all those things. You know what he still took time to do? He came from the way of the well. Now I want you to look at something real quick. Notice here, I'll show you something neat about your Bible. You say, what well is this? And Isaac came from the way of the well. Lahai Roy. You say, what, is that a particular well? Yeah, for he dwelt in the south country. Take your Bibles, go back over here, if you would, to Genesis. Genesis chapter 13 or 14 or 16 or somewhere over there. Let me get there, I'll point you in the right direction. Look at Genesis 16. Say, where did this well come from? Well, it showed up once more in Scripture. See, this was a familiar well. Now, notice here, that's where Isaac was dwelling. Isn't that wild? You got Gehazi down there dealing at a well. You got a woman that's coming to a well. And you got the guy waiting on her. Where's he at? He's been to the well. That's not a coincidence. It's a type. And God put that there for our benefit. Take your Bibles, look in Genesis chapter 16. You know the story. This is the birth of Ishmael. Hagar and Abraham. You know, Sarah gave Abraham Hagar and then realized that was a big mistake. But he had already had the child with Hagar. And so she says, hey, Abraham, you got to get that woman out of here. So he runs that woman off and she goes over in the wilderness and she thinks she's about to die. And looky here in verse number 7. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness. By the fountain in the way to Shur. Say, well, a fountain's not a well. Well, look down there, if you would, to verse number 14. Wherefore, the well was called Beer Lahai Roy. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. Now, you say, what does that name mean? Look back up to verse 13. And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me, for she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Read it again. I also here looked after him that seeth me. The angel of the Lord ministered to her and she said, hey, somebody was watching over me. Hey, if you look, God promises her child is going to be a great nation. And I know it's a trouble for Israel, but it's still a promise that she got. Hey, you know what? Hey, you know where Isaac was? Hey, do you know where Isaac was in his trouble? Do you know where Isaac had been? Do you know where he was in his grief? Do you know where he was in his heartache? Do you know where he was in his sad time? Hey, the Bible says over there in Genesis chapter number 24 in verse 62, and Isaac came from the way of the well of Lahai Roy. It's the same well. You know that the well of him that liveth and seeth me. Hey, you know what? Hey, the Word of God. Hey, what is the Word of God? It's the Word that liveth. It's the one that sees you. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, you go to the well. Why? Because He sees what's going on. He knows your heartache. He knows your hardship. He knows all of those troubles. But what have you got to do? You got to trust in the Word. He sees all of that. Ain't that wild? You think it's a coincidence Isaac came from that well while he was waiting? No, sirree. Boy, you talk about trusting in the Word of God. There's young people here that may be one day considering marriage. You better trust in God. And you better wait and let Him bring it. The more you try, the harder it'll be. The more you try, the more likelihood you are to make a mistake. You know what? I wonder who Isaac would have picked. You ever thought about that? Boy, you let God pick one. You say, preacher, that's hard. Yeah, it's hard. I did it. Say, how long did you wait? Oh, 11 years, I think. 11 years. Say, how many camels did you see come by? I saw a lot of camels go by. I tried to rope a few. Tried to catch a few camels. You say, what? But they weren't the right ones. They were something that there's one or two. I mean, you know, I'm not bearing any secrets, you know. But I mean, it's the way you do it. You say, hey, you say, God, are you in that one? Boy, I sure hope God's in that one. No, God's not in that one. Okay, wait for, you know. Say, why? Because He's always got one better coming. See, you think, you see, you can see the future.
You can't see what God can see. You think, oh, I like her, she likes me, or he likes me, and I like her. You think, oh, we're match made in heaven, we're right here, we're in the same church. That don't mean nothing with God. Say, why? Because God can see the future. And besides, God knows you. You know what? There's things I'm still finding out about my wife. Some of them I like, some of them I don't. You know, I mean, be honest. I'm sure, I mean, well, what's not to like about me? I don't know, but I mean, seriously, you know, I mean, she's probably finding out all kinds of things about me. You know what? You see, that's why you got to be careful. You let God do it. You know what? Those things, you can tolerate them. You may not like them, but you can tolerate them. You leave God out of that equation, and you'll wind up in a whole big mess. Say, I don't have that kind of trust. Stand at the well. Stand on the Word. Say, what if I never get married? It'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. Say, why? Because that was God's will. See what I mean? Now look at this. See, Isaac was in his grief. He was in his long suffering. He was in his hard times. And look at what he does. He comes from the well. But notice something else in verse 63. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventime. You know what? It's one thing to go to the Word of God. It's one thing to read the Word of God. But you know what? There's a lot of types in there. I know for a fact, especially for widows, widowers, people that are lonely, whatever, people that have a hard time, people that bear burdens, whatever kind of burdens they are, whether it's kids or work or problem, whatever you got. You know what? You know when the hardest time to deal with those is? Even time. See, you can keep busy during the day, but even times when reality sets in. Even times when the mind begins to wonder. What did Isaac do? He went out at even time to meditate. See, what was he going to do? He was going to think upon the things from the well. David said, I meditate upon thy precepts. Hey, you know what? It's one thing to read the Word of God. It's one thing to pray. It's one thing to take a picture to get something in. But you know what? You got to meditate on the Word of God. When those feelings, when those hardships, when those trials, when they come in, that's when you got to really think. That's when you got to put yourself in the Word of God. That's when you've got to let it absorb you, and you got to absorb it. And you know what? Before long, you'll get up, and guess what? You'll hear the noise, and there'll be a herd of camels coming right your direction. It will. Say, well, preacher, I've been waiting on camels for 50 years. Doesn't mean they're not coming. If you're trusting God, behold, the camels are coming. Look at that verse. In verse number 63. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide, and he lifted up his eyes, and he saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted her eyes up when she saw Isaac, and she lighted off the camel, and they fell madly in love and lived happily ever after. I'm sure they had some problems. They had twins that fought one another. They had problems. But notice here. Isaac was comforted, verse 67, after his mother's death. See, folks, we asked a question at the very beginning. Can you trust the Word of God? You say, oh, I trust the Word of God, preacher. Do you really? See, we'd never say, no, I don't trust the Word of God, because that'd be wrong. But remember, words mean little. Jesus said, love in action, not words. That's a loose interpretation there. It's the Tony version of 1 John. That's what it says. But notice here. Are you trusting in the Word of God? I have no idea what your hardship, what your trial, what your burden may be. I have no idea which one of these people really the closest matches you tonight. But I know this. All three of them dealt at the well. And the well is likened unto the Spirit. And the Spirit is like, and it's likened unto the Word. It's likened unto living water. And the water is likened unto the Word. And the Spirit of God is what shows us the Word of God. And it teaches us those things. And if we will do these things at the well, the Spirit of God will work. you'll have that comforter that'll come. Bible says when we don't even know what to pray, He maketh intercession for us. You say, Preacher, I just can't even pray nowadays. I'm so burdened. It's okay, God will do it. But you stay with that book. And you stay with what it says and you trust in that book. Now I want you to see something. You know, we looked at that all the way over there in Jacob. All the way over there in the book of John. From Genesis to John, that well. How many people you think that well served? It's still going today, if that's the true well. How many people has this fixed? How many people has this helped? How many people has this put in the right way? He said, I prospered being in the way. Without this, you'll never be in the way. The camels are going by and you're not even there to see them. You say, why? Because I'm not in the way. I being in the way of the Lord. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. It's still the same. There's no need to dig a new well. It's still the same. It still saves. It still comforts. It still leads. It still guides. It still directs. It's still everything. But notice, are we trusting in the well? Every head bowed and every eye closed as they come, we'll have a verse or two of a hymn of invitation. I want to ask you tonight, God spoke to your heart. Like I said, I have no idea, but I know the Bible says he that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. I have no idea what's on the hearts of folks here tonight. What may be your burden? What your type may have been in that passage? I have no idea who you might have interacted with or who you might have connected with. But I know this. Stand on the well of God. Maybe in your life the well of God has become somewhat dry because you've abandoned the well. Maybe you've been reading the well, but you've not been bringing anything to get it in. There's times when you've got to clean up the picture. There's times when you've got to get some things out of your life for God to show you what's really in His Word. There's times when you need to deal with those things. There's times when you just need to, you know what? God will just back away and He'll just say, you know what? Are you going to stand by the well? I didn't read you the verse. But Rebecca went back to her house and she drug her brother back out there. You know where he stayed while she went back to the house? The Bible says he stood by the well. You say, well, what if he's afraid she didn't come back? He was trusting in the Word of God. If God spoke to your heart tonight, why don't you come? Use the altar. Why don't you deal with God about these things? Ask Him to help you. Maybe you just need some help. Maybe you need some encouragement. Maybe you just need to say, Lord, you know what? I need You to show me some things in Your Bible. I need some things that I can stand on. I need some things that I can do. Maybe you're looking for something to do. Trust God's Word. Whatever your need is here tonight, why don't you come? Lord God, we thank You for the night. Thank You for the Word. We thank You for all that You do for us. We thank You that You preserved the Word. We have it. It's inerrant, Lord God, and it's Your true words. It's truth. We thank You for its connection to the Holy Spirit of God. We thank You for its connection to Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You that You ministered us through the Word. You comforted us through the Word. And Lord God, our problem is simple. We just struggle day in and day out to trust what Your Word says. Lord God, help us with that tonight. Lord God, we know that we fully believe the camels are coming, but help us to stand and trust so that they don't pass us by, so we get to see them. Lord God, help the folks with that here tonight. Help each one that's come this way. May Your will be done in this invitation. May You be glorified, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.